This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. And joining me today in the JPR studios, a return visit after a couple of years. It is wonderful to have you back. Welcome to Mr. Colin Hay. Hello,
nice,
sir.
Nice to be here. I can only see you through the fine wire mesh of the microphone. The pop filter.
The pop screen. Yeah. I have to say, starting off, you have a very distinguished look this time, almost like a college professor with this wonderful full beard.
Well, that's a good look, a college professor. It would seem that I have some semblance of intelligence, although I'm glad that I can pull that off. Somebody tried to pull the beard off the other night. They thought it wasn't real. I thought, why would you wear a false beard?
They're a little dangerous for us in broadcasting because they can rub against the microphone and make noise when you're on the air. So you have to be pretty careful. Mm. It's been about 4 years since your last album, and I read an interview that you gave recently where you said you didn't really have a whole lot to say. Is that true? I don't buy that from you.
No, that wasn't the reason that I didn't have a new album for 4 years. No, the reason why I haven't had a record is just because I can't get off the road. You know, it's been very difficult to, once you get on the road, it's difficult to get off the road. And then to find time to make a new record is tricky. It's tricky. And then I don't think that I'm lazy, but sometimes I think, well, I could have made a record, but it's pretty much a one-man operation.
The Colin Hay industry is a one-man
in
shop?
In the studio, yeah. It's just, I mean, I do get help, but it doesn't really happen unless I organize it. So it's not like I have a team or anything, you know.
So these days when you're not on the road and you're not actively working on making an album, what is life like? You live in Los Angeles still?
Yes.
What is life like on a day-to-day
Fantastic.
Basis for you? Yeah? Do you have non-musical pursuits?
No, not really.
So you wake up and make music?
I wake up and, you know, I wake up and eat a little food, you know, maybe go for a walk around the block. It's quite a challenging block. There are hills involved. There's also steps in the driveway. There's also steps going down to the studio, which I think is very important. I think it's very important if you're going to go to work, it's very important that there should be steps involved.
You've got a friend in Los Angeles that worked with you on this record and co-wrote a couple of the songs who lives somewhat nearby, I understand.
Somewhat nearby, yes. He lives up the road from me. His name is Michael Georgiadis. Yes, he's a singer-songwriter who's been around for quite a long time. He's a little bit older than I am. He made a record with Bernie Ledden in the 70s and it was signed to a publishing label quite a long time ago. And he's a great, great songwriter, great guitar player. We just started working together. We met in about 93. We started working together after that, but not all the time, just sporadically. But now a little more because I enjoy writing songs with him.
What works well with him?
Well, difficult to put your finger on it. And I think I've met three people in my life where I had a strong songwriting relationship with. And you don't really know why it works, you know, but it just does work. And he uses a lot of different tunings, and there's just a certain simpatico that happens. And I don't know, it works. I mean, there's lots of, perhaps if you lived in Nashville, there are lots of people who, you know, who make it work. You know, they'll write with lots of people, and that's something that they do. They have 3 or 4 hours, and so they'll, you know, write a song with someone, and it's more like a job, you know. I mean, I treat it like a job as well, but with Michael, it's, you know, he's my friend, but we have a good, it's an unspoken thing. I mean, an example, I'm being a little vague and I'm not being very interesting, actually. But, you know, if he comes around with a musical idea, often if I come up with a lyrical idea, it'll suit or it'll be what he was thinking. So it's just one of those things that you have a certain simpatico with someone.
Yeah. Colin Hay is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Mm. His new record just out is called Next Year People. I want to hear the story behind that song for sure. It's out on Compass Records. What would you like to play first for us today?
Well, I will play...
And I remember last time you were here and I asked you that question, you said, I don't want to play anything.
Well, I don't really. No, I mean, but you want something, so... I'm quite happy just to sit here with a guitar and not play it.
Is that true? Are you the kind of a person that could sit with the guitar and not noodle and make music?
Not for very long.
Yeah. So that's the problem. You're stuck. You're a musician. So it's going to start happening.
This is called Waiting in the Rain. dancing with a ghost from my hometown. I can smell the French polish still hanging all around. Following the footprints in the seashores of my heart. I wake up from my nightmare and you hold me in the dark. I don't want to lose the memories. It's how I keep you close to me. I know that you will always understand. Standing in our street, it's all closed down. But the record's still spinning, it's going round and round and round. You'll always mean so much to me, took us further than the eye can see. I know you'll always take me by the hand.
That is Waiting in the Rain. It's music from the new record called Next to Your People. Colin Hay, live here on Jefferson Public Radio. He's my in-studio guest today. We'll have audio from today's live session and some photographs up on our website later today. You have a couple of Cuban musicians on this record, and I understand you stole them.
I did, yes.
From whom?
I stole them from my wife, Cecilia. I've done it before, and I'll do it again, probably.
What is it about their playing or their approach to music that makes you want to use them?
Well, a number of reasons. They were close at hand, for one thing, because they were working with Cecilia. And one plays bass. His name is Yosmel Montejo. He's a beautiful bass player. He's been here for 3 or 4 years and plays the baby bass. And another guy called San Miguel Perez, who's a master tres player, plays a tres, which is a Cuban instrument, and he's a great guitar player. But they both came over to the States from Cuba and just stayed here. I guess you could say they defected, although it's an old-fashioned word, I think, defected. They came over and stayed, and they're now living in Los Angeles. But they have, they can, I've never been to Cuba, I'm planning to go, but they had a great musical education. They play beautifully, their instruments, but they have this, don't know how to describe it. They not only just play great music, but they kind of, it's in their whole being. They're very, they kind of live and breathe what they play, so they're very adaptable to any particular style of music. And they didn't have a whole lot of experience in the studio, which was, for me, a good thing in a way. So they came into the studio quite excited, and I used a friend of mine, Charlie Paxton, to play drums for the most part. And we cut a lot of the tracks live, and so it was pretty joyous experience for the most part.
Yeah. Can we talk about the story behind the title track? You named your record Next to Your People. It's the name of one of the tunes. The idea for the story behind the song came from where?
I was on tour a couple of years ago, and I saw, I think it was a Ken Burns documentary on the Dust Bowl in I think it was Oklahoma and Northern Texas and bits of Kansas, I think. It's just the story of those farmers who did the same thing every year expecting a different result, and all the madness and mayhem that ensued in those years of deprivation where the rains didn't come. So it was a very moving piece on the television. And so I just wrote down the words after I saw it, and just wrote down these words that sprang into my head, and just kept it. And when I was working on the record, I didn't have any music for it. And then one day I was in the studio, I was working on something else, and I had this guitar in a particular, I had this capo on the fourth fret or something, and just started, and I had the lyrics in front of me. And then the music popped out, so it seemed very appropriate. From time to time, I would pull them out and see if anything musical sprang to mind, but it didn't for a year or so. So that's where the idea came from, and I like the way it turned out.
You've been writing songs now for, 40 years, give or take?
I've been writing songs for for about almost 50 years.
Yeah. Do they come at a more rapid pace these days or slower?
I don't know. I never think about it. I always think that when I'm finished a record, that's it. I always think I've got nothing else. And I probably don't, really. But when I was about 14, it came from learning to play the guitar. That was, it's really what I still want to do, is learn how to play the guitar properly. So
many would say you know how.
Well, I know a bit, but I don't really know how to play the guitar properly. And very few people do. But I'm still learning, and so that's what I like to do. You said in my spare time I like to actually play the guitar, or learn to play the guitar. And so what happens with me is I would learn a little bit, and then I would get, my mind would wander, and I would just write these little songs. So that's really what I started to do when I was about 14, and it gave me pleasure. And so that's really what I still do. I just start playing the guitar or messing around with a few musical ideas, and then often after a little while, a song starts to pop out, starts to germinate. So that's what I do.
And does it still serve the same function? Does it still give you pleasure when one comes out?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Will you play us another?
Yes. Which one is this? This is... They were kings and queens and could-have-beens and pretenders to the throne. Was a sweet contender then. Now my seeds, they've all been sown. I scorched the earth behind me. I could have made a better plan if I had been a better man. My promises were not to keep, but thrown into the dirt. There must be more I told myself as I buttoned up my shirt. Well, I could paint myself in glory now and be proud of who I am if I had been a better man. Stumbling through deep suburbs of my mind, secrets of silence unwind. I will sing you
so long. Now only love, only love makes me strong. Your charity I took as mine, I claimed it as my own. I followed my ascending star to far away from home. I was mesmerized by shiny things. Now in frozen time I stand. If I had been a better man. Now I'm kneeling and I'm digging deep, deep into the ground, searching for my soul to keep, like a buried treasure found. In dreams I speak in ancient tongues, lost in wind and sand. If I had been a better man. If I had been a better man. If I had been a better man.
That is Colin Hay live here on Jefferson Public Radio. It's music from the new record called Next Year People that went out on Compass Records. It's so good to see you again. And it's wonderful to hear you sing right here in front of us.
All right.
On this new album, you actually embedded a nod to your sister in one of the tunes, and you managed to pull off the lyric Labradoodle.
So what did you read about my sister? Oh, Mom, my sister, she has a groodle.
No,
yeah, which is basically it's a similar animal. It's a similar breed of dog to a Labradoodle. It's a golden retriever poodle cross.
And this is in a song called Mr. Grogan.
Yeah, Mr. Grogan. Mr. Grogan is a fictitious character, but he's lived for quite a long time in my head.
Is it someone that you have written about in previous songs,
no,
but not by name?
No.
No.
No, I never have, but I used to make up stories about Mr. Grogan and tell them to these two girls who are in a band in Melbourne called the Shantuzies. And they're lovely, lovely women, and they're friends of mine. And they used to just be intrigued by Mr. Grogan, and so they would ask me to tell them stories about Mr. Grogan. So I would just make up stories about this fictitious character. And as they drank their Chardonnay.
Did they know that you had made him up?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
oh, okay.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, they would just encourage me to, and of course, because they were interested and they were sitting there listening to me, I was theirs.
Hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, that's where the character came from. But I was sitting in Hamburg on tour last year, and I was watching a streetcar go by, and Mr. Grogan popped into my head, this image of this person that I recognized as being Mr. Grogan. So I just wrote this little idea for a song down, which I quite liked. That's what ended up being the song. Although the song originally stopped in the song, he Mr. Grogan falls over in the snow, and he has a Labradoodle who's waiting for him at home, and that's originally where the song ended, with him falling over in the snow, and we didn't really know what happened. But then I thought about it over the next few days, and I thought, well, if my sister hears the song, she'll be upset with me because she'll want to know what happened to the dog.
She needed closure.
Yeah. So I gave it more of a Hollywood ending.
You know, speaking of storytelling, one of the significant parts these days of a Colin Hay show is storytelling. It's the stuff that happens in between the songs, and a lot of people very much enjoy that part of your shows. Have you ever considered any sort of longer form storytelling? You know, writing short stories, writing a book of that sort? Because, you know, you have characters like Mr. Grogan. Have you ever thought of developing them into something larger?
Well, I've written some things, yes. I've written some short stories, and I'm supposed to be writing a book, but it's slow going because I'm on tour and I could be doing more. I have started it, but it's stopped at the moment just because I'm...
Is it the adventures of Mr. Grogan, or is it something
entirely
different?
No, Mr. Grogan hasn't... No, it's just... Mr. Grogan doesn't feature in the book, no.
Okay.
And I think Mr. Grogan deserves his own book.
Hmm. And speaking of touring, you head back to Australia pretty soon, if I'm correct, in looking at your routing.
I'm looking forward. I haven't been to New Zealand for a while, and that'll be good too, because I'll get to see my part of my family, my immediate family, my brother and my nieces, who I haven't seen for a while. And then I come back here and I do a summer tour with another couple of bands, the Violent Femmes and Bare Naked Ladies in the summer. And cool. Then I kind of go out again by myself after that.
What is the reception like when you go back to Australia?
The reception is pretty much the same, you know, basically wherever I go. You know, it's not better or worse. It's kind of, I mean, the United States has been where I've lived for the last 25 years, you know, and I left Australia at the end of 89. You know, in one sense, it's a difficult place to leave because it's a very easy place. It's an easy place to live. It's a great place to live. It's a country that's the same size as the United States, but it only has like 23 million people in it. So it has a lot of space. It's very quite progressive, economically quite strong, quite stable place. But things were pointing away from there for me for a number of reasons. And so I came to the United States because I had the opportunity to, and I always felt, not so much that I fitted in more in the United States, but if I did not have a record deal anymore, which was difficult for me, I couldn't get on the radio in Australia. No one would play anything new that I did. So people were really not really particularly interested in what I was doing. So I felt like I had to go somewhere where I could at least survive. It's a bigger market in a way, so I could be a singer-songwriter and I could make records and I could do what I'm doing and play to much, you know, a larger population of people. So
see, it's weird to hear you say that because from this chair, which granted is thousands of miles away, I would assume that they would be naming a boulevard after you. I mean, 60 million records.
No, but people don't respond to that. People don't really care about that.
But to a degree, isn't there some amount of almost like an Australian cultural representative that you have become over the years?
No, not really. I mean, I don't think people in Australia really think of me as that. You know, I mean, I went back recently to the Cricketers Arms Hotel where Men at Work started, right? And you would think that would be, you know, mythologized in some way, you know,
yeah.
We went in there was nobody in the bar, and in the corner there was just a huge cigarette machine which replaced, you know, that was what there was, you know, just this cigarette machine where we used to play. And I just thought, it was quite depressing, to be honest, you know. People remember the song Down Under. They remember, okay, there's that band was successful. It would be okay if you wanted to sit around and wait for things like the Olympics to come along, which was a fantastic event to play at, and go out there and close the ceremony with Down Under,
yeah.
Which was terrific. But you can't base your life on that. You have to actually keep doing things. And people were not interested in what I was doing. They were interested, if you want to stay in your little box and get dragged out every now and again and sing that song, then terrific. But if you want to actually keep moving, then you know, you have to keep moving forward. And if people are not, if they're not interested in that, then you have to try and go somewhere where perhaps people are, you know.
So
but people are interested now because I built up an audience,
yeah.
But it's taken about two decades to do that.
So there was an interim period where people didn't care what you were doing, they cared what
They didn't know what I was doing. Hmm. They had no idea, because why would they?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't get played on the radio or if you're doing a few gigs and stuff. I mean, I went back to Melbourne and I was playing to eight people. I mean, I went from playing to 50, 60,000 people. And when the band broke up, in maybe the space of 2 or 3 years, I was playing to eight people, 9, 10 people in places in Melbourne. So it was like, there was really no overlap of once the band was over and you're on your own. It was really basically like starting again. It was completely like starting again. You don't get, you know, some spillover from the old band that would go, oh, you know, just out of interest. Oh, let's go and see what that guy's doing.
Yeah.
You know? But no, there was very little.
Well, it's been great to see you again.
All right.
Thanks for coming to visit. Colin Hay is my guest live today in the JPR studios. His newest record out on Compass Records is called Next Year People. Will you play us one more?
Yes, I'll play you that.
can't live without hope that things will change for the better. You can't live without the dream of someone reading your letter. We've had dust storms before and spit out the dirt. We've had droughts before, but none quite like this. We've had winds that cut up your face all to pieces, and black blizzards that stripped all the paint off your car. Fires like twisters, no sisters of mercy. They come with no warning, only that sound. God is roaring drunk and out on the town. But next year everything will come good. The rains, they will fall, and we'll dance on the hood. We'll fill up our bellies with plentiful food. We'll eat, drink, and be merry. Yeah, next year, people, wait and see. We're next year, people, you and me. Henry got hit by lightning twice in the head. He stood and walked away, we thought he was dead. Now he talks funny, says he's wired to the sky. Walks for miles and miles and no one knows why. The bank men, they came and wrote things down on paper. We all went outside and just stood around. We were glad when they left, they brought nothing but heartache. And the seed we had planted, it stayed in the ground. But next year everything will come good. The rains, they will fall, and we'll dance on the hood. We'll fill up our bellies with plentiful food. We'll eat, drink, and be merry. Yeah, next year, people, wait and see. We're next year, people, you and me. Dry, endless plains, and we suffered the worst. Are we being punished or are we just cursed? It's almost 10 years and no drop of rain. Only mocking blue skies bringing more of the same. Our mother was crying when they sent us to stay. With strangers in a town and we both ran away. Back to the dust and see Henry again. We're creatures of habit, don't you know? One day we'll reap what we sow. But next year everything will come good. The rains, they will fall, and we'll dance on the hood. We'll fill up our bellies with plentiful food. We'll eat, drink, and be merry. Yeah, next year, people, wait and see. We're next year, people. Yeah, next year, people, wait and see. We're next year, people, you and me.
That is Colin Hay live here on Jefferson Public Radio. The title track from his brand new record called Next Year People. Colin, thanks again for coming.
Oh, my pleasure.